Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley in with you today. We thank you for taking the time to listen to us. And with everything that is happening in this country, it has been a tough weekend to watch the images we've seen, and that is starting from last week to everything that has happened. We've seen a lot of athletes. We've seen a lot of people speak out. I've seen from Trevor Lawrence, the college kid at Clemson, Sam Mellinger at Texas spoke out, J.J. Watt spoke out on it. A lot of people, and I'm purposely naming the white athletes, lot of people, because that's been the thing of stand up, you know, with us. And yes, I want anybody to stand up and speak about it. I'm wondering from you, did you feel compelled to speak about it? What's your feeling and thought process of everything you saw?
Well, it's a difficult one, to be honest with you, man. I think it's difficult for all of us, regardless whether you're a white male or female, or a white child, or a black female, male, a Hispanic. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. This has got to be extremely difficult for any and everybody to first see what went on when it went viral, to literally see it. It's one thing to hear about things that have gone on in the past and to hear about things that could be problems, but I think when we see it show, it's real. It's obviously painful, and it's jaw-dropping to think that we live in a society where that is possible. But for me personally, man, it immediately brings me to a point where I realize, because I'm a little different, man. When problems occur, like I immediately go to, how can we fix it? Like, how can we fix what this problem is? Whether it be the offense for the Houston Texans can't score on the first possession of the game, or it be that George Floyd was his neck, he was handcuffed and kneeled on by multiple law enforcement officers, and one of them kneeled on his neck for damn near 9 minutes, and he ended up passing away. Like that, how can we fix that problem? Yates High School, right here in Houston. I mean, so that's where my mind goes when problems arise, regardless of how severe they are. This is obviously the most severe that I've witnessed, that I've seen. And so for me, and I want you to understand, show, like I was born and raised in Baytown, Texas, man. I told you, when I was in Little League, I was on the All-Star team. I was the only white guy on the All-Star team. When I was in junior high, it was a heavy Hispanic enrollment in the junior high that I was in. I was the minority in that junior high in terms of the race, you know, the percentage of different races that were in that junior high. High school, we were very, very diverse. I've been in a huddle and in a locker room since I was old enough to play ball with predominantly Hispanic and black males. And so I think I'm a little bit more aware of what you as a 36-year-old black male has gone through and what you're afraid of your kids having to go through. I can't relate, but I'm a little bit more aware probably than some people are. I also have two cousins that are police officers in Chambers County and Harris County, Baytown, Texas. I mean, I'm aware of what they go through. I can't relate the danger that they put themselves in every day to protect us. I can't relate to what they go through every day, what you go through every day, and what black men and women and children in this community go through every day. I can't relate. I am aware, Sho, and I want to know and want to discuss and want to help fix the problem. And the one thing that I think is clear is that the system is broken, man. And until it is aggressively overhauled and there's checks and balances and there's people that do these kinds of things are held accountable. The few that do these kind of things are held accountable. You know, that we're going to be in the same spot with racial injustice next year as we are right now. So
next week,
we're going to be in the same spot. And so when you ask me where it takes me, I don't think black men and women, the black community in general, across our country, I don't think they want to hear about how saddened I am or how shocked I am or whatever it is that I feel when I see what I saw with the George Floyd murder. I don't think anybody wants to hear that anymore. You know what I mean? So I go immediately to...
And that's the reasoning why you respond the way you do.
Yeah, the reason I didn't respond on social media is because I think it's hollow. I think it rings hollow when somebody retweets another coach or another athlete or another media personality's thoughts and where their heart is. I just think at this point in time with this particular problem, I think it rings hollow in a lot of people's eyes. And if I'm going to comment on something this severe and this, what word am I looking for that swings emotions?
Divisive.
Just something this important in our world, then I want to do it the right way. I want to do it my way in terms of I don't want to retweet somebody else. I want to do it my way, and I want it to be effective. So for me, man, when I saw it, you asked me where it takes me. It takes me to a spot of how can we fix the problem? The system is clearly broken when a guy can kneel on somebody else's neck, regardless of what they did. Miss me with all the what he did before. If you can kneel on a man's neck long enough, damn near 9 minutes to where it kills him, and nobody, there's other people around, and nobody at that point in time says, hey, you know, this ain't right. The system's broken. It's got to be fixed, man.
I want to stick to something you said about the system broken. And for me, as you know, as a black man, yeah, it's angering and it's painful, and there's so many places that it takes me from a place of anger to fear to I'm scared to death for not just my boys, but I mean, we got Brianna in Louisville who got gunned down eight times in a wrongful, trying to find a house that they felt like was selling drugs. It was 10 miles away. Like, so it's women too. It's just, and I have a fear of that. But when you say the system is broken, it's almost like all the way broken down to the bottom. Like, and I won't speak for anybody. I'm going to speak for myself here. This is how I felt. I look at it just from terms from our industry of, man, this was a human thing and a hard thing to watch. And one of the things that I love about our industry and what you come to when Clint goes and talks about Pop-Tarts and spray butter, you feel like you get to know him. Like I feel like, I felt like I knew him better. And you get invested when you get to know the people more. That's what it's about. That's why when some of you probably got to know Clint's crazy ass and the things that he says, where Clint can come in here and talk about whatever. You're going to hang in because you feel like you're talking to your guy and you get to know him. And for some reason, a situation that's like this that has very personal things to me, as I said, with my fear for myself, my kids, it's deemed as potentially divisive. It's deemed as potentially we may lose some people. It's deemed to potentially be political. And that's just a tragedy, what occurred. And, like, God, to be honest, if I'm up to you, I think the only reason why we can really go more into it is because of what happened after it and the riots that occurred that made it a bigger thing, that it was like, oh, my God, this is something that you almost can't not have an opinion on. Like, in my opinion, if the protesters were peaceful and everything that happened, it wouldn't be as big of a story to be able to tackle. But we got to get to a place where the system is broken that even I can come on and talk about a situation that's a tragedy, and it not be deemed Ron is being, this is divisive. We might lose some people. There's a race thing. It's not political.
Well, it's not. And I think this comes from both perspectives, man. When you talk about just racial conversations, particularly racial injustices, man, is you and I, or, you know, the differences in, like, Sam Ellinger came to the table and he said that he grew up in an all-white community and went to a all-white high school, I believe, and then he, you know, went to Texas, and the locker room taught him so many things. Well, guess what? Sam Ellinger left that situation where it was all white everything. No pun intended. You like that? You like the lyrics I threw at you right there? No pun intended. But, you know, he left that. Well, he was one dude that left. There's still a whole community of individuals that can't relate and aren't aware. And I think that's the same case in a predominantly black community where there are no whites. The lack of awareness of what the other thinks and how the other operates and functions, good, bad, and indifferent, the lack of knowledge there is a problem. And it's the problem starts with the communication aspect of it. It's hard for people that grew up in those two extremes to have this conversation that you and I are having. I find myself having conversations with Wade Smith and Cecil Shorts and guys like you, that black men, a lot that most guys probably couldn't have. And that's just the fact of the matter. So to think that it's ever going to be an easy conversation to have, I think is, we all need to be hopeful and we all need to work towards that. But man, to think that's ever going to be a really easy conversation, it's tough for me to go there.
I want to hit you with something because we had a conversation about this earlier. You're like, what can I do?
That's where I'm at with it, man.
And I've had a lot of friends, like some of my white friends, to say, what can I do? And my thing is, I want to throw the question back at you. What? Because let's just be honest, real talk. The position that kind of has a power, whatever part has a power, is going to need to help the other side that doesn't have as much power. When women were able to vote in this country, men had to get along with that and help vote that in. So, yes, we need what. What is it that potentially may stop you from, or anyone out there, what that may stop you from jumping into it or walking beside or anything? If if I said, man, let's go out here and walk, let's go out here and protest.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'd walk with you because I love you. It's about you and my trust with you.
Could you get up and just go by yourself?
No, that would be tough. And this is what the conversation you and I were having earlier about, you know, about my father. Right. My 40, 50, 60, 70 year old white America, there ain't no, like, if you want them to get on board,
what would it take?
The planning, the long term plan, other avenues outside of what they turn their TV on and see every night. I'm telling you, you turn your TV and right, wrong, or indifferent. I understand that a lot of what you see on TV and you see on social media, I understand that a lot of that is coming from different, a lot of it is manufactured and a lot of it is not about what the real problem is. I understand that. But if the thought is that those guys, those 40, 50, 60, 70 year old white men and women need to get on board, and the way to do that is to protest in the streets with riots and things going on around it, that ain't gonna happen. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's not, whether it's fear or it does, that is not going to be the answer. And so when I hear like Killer Mike out of Atlanta, mm-hmm. When I hear him get up in front of the whole city of Atlanta it's gone viral. Yeah, because there's talks of mobilize, plan, strategize. That has a chance. But what's going on in our country right now?
Your pops ain't getting up.
My pops ain't getting up and getting out of the house. And not and look, to each their own. I'm not. I just told you that I'm not getting up and getting out of the house and doing it either. There's too much unknown. There's too much not sure what's going on. There's too much risk at this point in time to be involved in that. Unless it was me and you and Smitty and Cecil and you know what I mean.
That's the point where it feels like you are impacted. Because, as you said, you love us.
Yeah, well, I'm safe.
You feel like you're impacted.
I'm safe, and I can
move with
it. And
that's when I think people will move, when they feel their impact.
And that's just the reality of this thing, man, that if there's got to be more strategy, there's got to be more planning, there's got to be more moving forward, a conscious effort. It can't be just the week following what we watched happen to George Floyd. The week following, we protest some way, shape, or form, at the same time the protests are going on, there's rioting going on. That's not going to be the answer if the ultimate goal initially is to get the help that the black community needs from the white community. That can't be the answer. That can't be where it stops.
This is how we get stuff going, at least to have a conversation about it. The Rockets have been off for 2 months, but they seem to be showing signs of really getting themselves in a position where they're going to be able to succeed when they come back. We'll get into that next. Run the show. Clint Sterner in the building. We're having a good time with you. The Rockets. And we're starting to see, of any of the sports, it seems
we're
like
back in this thing.
Yeah,
baby.
It seems
talking
like
about
the
Rockets.
NBA is going to come back. We don't know what baseball is going on, but the NBA, they've been off for 2 months, and I don't know if you missed it. I know you was floating on that river, but
James, I ain't gonna lie, I had anchor down.
James Harden's about as skinny as Bridget right now. Have you seen James?
Yeah, I like it.
Like an unhealthy skinny. I'm not saying that you're unhealthy.
What?
Whoa, that backfired. Whoa,
I'm talking about an unhealthy look, Terry. For him. You're very healthy, skinny. Interval workout.
I'm a radio personality show. You can't be saying
go
that.
Ahead, Clint, man, go ahead. I'm going to take 10 seconds.
Back up, Terry. Here's the deal. It looks like the NBA is going to return. Hey, show, you can come back, bud. You can come back out of timeout. You can come back. Oh, man. The NBA is going to return. Right, sooner rather than later, and I'm stoked about it. The 2 month layoff show, come on, man. I mean, it's obviously two. I don't know, was it two and a half months? I don't know exactly what it's been, but
March something.
When you talk about the layoff and how big this is, a lot of times we talk about how detrimental it is for teams that stop during the middle of the season. This could be huge for the Rockets, man. I mean, this could be huge for the Rockets.
I don't think there's another team that benefits more from it. I don't think there's another team that benefits. Just, man, Clint, just the rest that they're going to get, like not going into it being fatigued. Just imagine if they played another, 19, 20 games and they went into a 7-game series against Denver and they were playing that small ball style and as hard as Russell was playing, as hard as Harden was playing. Like, yeah, this break benefits their team more than anybody with their style.
Well, look, there's no doubt that it – they were on a downward spiral, right? They started off hot with this small ball, and they had hit a downward spiral. They lost to the New York Knicks, which I don't have the Knicks record pulled up here, so I'll save you the record, but I don't believe the Knicks are a very good basketball team right now. Okay,
yeah.
There you go. All right. They lost to the Clippers. Fair enough. Clippers are who they are.
They got beat down in that game.
It was 120-105, and I believe it was a lot worse than until they. Charlotte.
I remember what I was eating at.
It's been a couple months, Chinese. But I don't think Charlotte's very good.
They're not great.
Right?
Nope.
Well, they beat the Rockets.
Under 500.
Orlando beat the Rockets by 20, 126-106. And then Minnesota, they beat lowly Minnesota 117-111 at home, and then boom. They were due to play the LA Lakers up next with a pretty nice little run of the Lakers, Portland, Sacramento, Dallas, Milwaukee. They had some key games left, But boy, they had really, the small ball Rockets had really cooled off. And it looked like show fatigue was going to be a real problem for the Rockets. At least when the coronavirus, when COVID-19 hit, the Rocket, it wasn't looking real promising for
Could
the Rockets.
Could you imagine
baby.
If P.J. Tucker was still playing against centers?
Oh.
Every night getting banged, every night. Jokic, all of those guys getting into the season.
Yeah.
The rest that he's getting right now to play this stuff. I mean, we know how hard Russell Westbrook plays. Yeah. We know how hard Harden plays. And Westbrook, like the thing about him in the postseason is, Clint, he's been shot by the time you get there in the middle of a series, and he's not the same guy before. So that fatigue was a very, very real thing.
Show, not only was the fatigue real, though, man, when I look at it, you it's obvious that when you have a different style of play that you need to be in a different kind of shape. Like, to do what the Rockets were trying to do, to make the transition from the ball that they were playing before essentially converting to Russell Westbrook ball. Before that, there was a lot of standing around. There was a lot of outside of Capella. I don't know. They damn near ran his feet off. But there's a lot of standing around outside of Capella and Harden. And you look at what that style of ball commanded of the Rockets' body type, the style of play, the level it's just a different type of in shape that you need, the Rockets needed to be in order to play that style of that small ball at the highest possible level. And they couldn't make that change mid-season, right? When they made the change to the different style, you couldn't just snap your fingers and all of a sudden be leaner and faster, right? And so the two-month layoff, how big is it for the Rockets to change the bodies the way they need to change the bodies, whether that's lose weight, whether that's get in the weight room, whether it's work the legs, whatever it may be? That two-month layoff is big time in terms of whether or not this small ball is going to work moving forward. And as you mentioned, hey, James Harden, there ain't a better visual of what they think, at least, what they think a body needs to look like.
What's your thoughts about this transformation? It looks like his body's made. Is there any concern how quick he's made himself look like this?
No. I mean, hell, he ain't had nothing to do for 2 months. You can't go to the club. The shake joints that James likes to hang in, they clearly weren't open. I mean, so you don't have a whole hell of a lot to do. And so I don't know if it's just him getting in shape or if it's him realizing that style of ball that we were playing, I can play at a higher level.
Oh, I think that had something to do with it.
It has to, show. I mean, he was, and I'm not saying that James Harden never.
He didn't have like the greatest NBA body.
Well, but he left it on the floor. Now he left it on the floor most of the time on the offensive end and wasn't always the defensive, give the effort on the defensive end of the floor in the old style. That changed with the new style. But you still looked at him and you were like, in terms of NBA players that play as much as him and do what he does on the floor, he was a thicker bodied guy. And it appears that he has shaken the extra weight, the extra LBs, and has got super lean. And I just wonder if that's a response to the type of ball that they are going to play in this shortened playoff season.
Yeah, I think it has to. I just wonder the concerns. I wonder, is it going to be strange for him to be able to learn to play in that at that weight? I wonder, are there things that he's accustomed to doing at that weight? Offensively, I don't see how it hurt. Offensively, I just think he's going to be quicker. He's going to create more fouls. Yeah. I think on the defensive end, he's really hard in the post, and people try to post him up, but he's just thick. His legs and his lower half were really, really thick. That's my concern. But everything offensively, I would look and think it enhances it.
You wonder how many LBs he's lost. You wonder if he's lost any strength along the way. I would doubt that very seriously. LBs, yeah, strength, no. And I think what makes James Harden, and I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, what separates James Harden from everybody else, in my opinion, is the craftiness. Like, whether it's getting off a shot or it's playing defense and getting a hand in there, the the unorthodox way of getting shots off and getting to the rack and scoring buckets is what makes him different and makes him allows him to be one of the best scorers in the game right now. And so I don't think he'll ever lose that. The one question is, like you said, does he still have the ability to defend in the post?
And that's it.
Because when you play, I was watching some detail last night with Kobe Bryant. Kobe. Cold-blooded, by the way. I just love that. I'm not a huge, like, X's and O's, let me deep dive into basketball. I would if it was all Rockets.
I could see you getting into that.
I love it, man. I love it. But I'm watching it, and he's breaking down how he would have attacked certain players in the low post, and he's talking about how players nowadays, guards particularly, don't work on defending the low post, so he would go down there and dominate. And it immediately made me think of what we're talking about is Harden was good at that, right? When he decided to turn it up on defense, you could every game see him play better versus post up guards and post up smaller forwards. Will he still be able to do that with this body comp change?
Clint, the Texans made a move last week, and I think there's a fair conversation to ask if they're being cost-effective or are they being cheap. Let's chew on that coming up next. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley in with you. And last week, we've talked about it, Clint. Man, Larry Warford would be a great addition to the team. I'm not saying Zach Fulton stinks. But Larry Warford is a better player, a guy who's been to the Pro Bowl the last three years, played in New Orleans, has played in big games, a really good run blocker. He could be a big addition. Yeah. Now, the Texans then went ahead and restructured the deal with Zach Fulton. We talked to John McClain, who's with us in the 4 o'clock hour each and every Friday. He said that means the dream or the thoughts of Larry Warford are over real quick on that. He was due 6.5 in base salary in 2020 and 21 under the new current deal. Fulton receives $5 million guaranteed this year and then $3 million non-guaranteed in 2021. This clears up immediately for the Texans to be able to use $2.75 million from that. But with that, Zach Fulton's going to be the guy. All five guys are back. Is there any reason why you think that we would sit here and look at Zach Fulton in there and say, God, we missed
him. No. From the jump, man. I mean, I don't – can you upgrade from Zach Fulton with a guy like Larry Warford? Yeah, I'm sure you could. I mean, you are more than solid up front with Zach Fulton in there. I think I categorized it before I left. You could upgrade, but there's not a need or a void at the right guard position. And so, I think the Texans will be fine. I don't think there'll ever be a point in the season where you look back and you go, man, boy, if they would have signed Larry Warford, boy, this team could really have taken the next step.
You don't think we'll ever look at that? No.
No, I just don't believe it. I think Zach Fulton's a good player, not necessarily a great player. I mean, which that's no disrespect. I mean, I think – we talk about players way too often and give them the great title. In the NFL, to be great, you got to be really, really, really special. Zach Fulton is a good right guard, solid right guard in this league, and I think he'll be more than fine, especially when you look around at the guys that he's got next to him. When you look at Nick Martin at center and you look at, hopefully, if Titus Howard can stay his tail healthy, you got Titus Howard at right tackle. I mean, I just don't see where that right side of the offensive line has any holes whatsoever and isn't extremely powerful.
See, when I look at it, it's like, all right, because the way you're saying it is the difference isn't big enough to really have a real problem with it.
Yeah.
This isn't, all right, man, we're moving on from DeAndre Hopkins, and then underneath them we're rolling out with Kiki QT. This isn't that.
Yeah.
There is a much you won't. Because I was just thinking, like, are the Texans being cheap, or are they being cost effective? That's what I was thinking. Like, well, are they being smart with their money, or are they just saving and cutting money on a position where they could be better and improved and can help them win, and they're just being cheap?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't categorize it as cheap. Okay. I mean, if anything, I would look at the Texans and say this is a smart move. I don't know what the plan is to do with the few million that you saved, but there's obviously you'd rather have that if it's one guy and you get to have him as a starting right guard, either way it goes, if you can save a couple of million dollars and spend that elsewhere, whether it's needed to sign a rookie. I don't even know if they've signed all their draft picks yet or not, or what the status is of those contracts. But to use that $2-2.5 million somewhere else this year, and then possibly be able to have Zach Fulton next year at the $3 million number. Obviously, that would have to be renegotiated, right? Something. If he has a good season, yeah. but.
And it's not guaranteed, so you're not locked in.
Right. So that's one of those deals where, to me, I think this is a great move by the organization. You give the players some peace of mind this season with $5 million guaranteed, and you give the organization an out next year. If he doesn't pan out, if he doesn't play well and you want to move on, then you can do so next year. And in the process of positioning all those things, you save some dough in the process. You save some salary cap space in the process. So I think this is a small move that a lot of people say was unnecessary in terms of you know, do you have Fulton? Do you have Larry Warford? What happens at right guard?
Yeah.
To have any noise at the right guard position, I think was – you didn't need it. But to have that noise, miss on Warford or decide you don't want Warford – go with Zach Fulton, renegotiate, save some dollars, put the organization and the player in a better position. I think this is a win-win and a pretty solid move.
I wonder also was the thought like, okay, Larry Warford is an upgrade. He's better. Everyone we've talked
to.
We had Wade on. Wade broke down why he was a better player. He said it would be like him being an 89 and then Zach Fulton's an 80. You know, it's not like 89 and 60, as you said.
Right.
They're both Bs, right? One's just higher and closer to an A. But I wonder, is another factor the fact of Zach Fulton's versatility? Zach Fulton can play center at an above-average level. And you think about injuries in this league, the thought is who would – if you went with Larry and you let him go, who would play center if something were to happen, God forbid, to Nick Martin? Who would be able to step in and play that role? Would it be Max Sharping? Who would play that role?
I don't know, man. I don't know because I don't know how the guard position is going to end up shaking out. I don't know. What they're going to do interior wise. I would say Max Sharping because he's the left guard right now. And I know he worked. I'm pretty sure he worked some at center last year in the training camp. So I would say him. But I tell you, I'm a big fan. And the center position is a little bit different. Because you need a guy that's a great communicator, and that's not always a second-year guard, you know, that was a tackle in college.
I've seen Zach Fulton played center 1 year in Kansas City where he had to fill in for an injury.
Right.
So you know he can do it.
Well, to have a veteran that can slide over there that already knows all of the you know, of the protections and the run schemes, the calls, and can communicate at a high level, and you don't disrupt that rookie at left guard – I think that's valuable, man. And you talk about it. And again, I know people don't like to hear the word versatility thrown around too much because Bill O'Brien abuses it. I get it. But when it's all said and done, man, with your interior offensive linemen, really with all your offensive linemen, tackles' ability to swing, go left or right, and then your interior offensive linemen, their ability to play all three positions, that's extremely valuable. I'll tell you, one of the coolest things about Larry Allen – who I think is the best offensive lineman to ever play the game in Dallas. The coolest stories I ever heard from people that played with him and people that knew the Cowboys well was that he could play all four positions other than center. Left tackle, right guard, left guard. And that's rare, man. Obviously Larry Allen's rare. I mean but the ability to go left to right, inside and outside, that's crazy. That's crazy value for a lineman to be able to do that. But if you're talking about interior guys like a Zach Fulton, his ability to play guard and center, really either guard and center, that's strong, man. That's really strong.
So when you look at it, because that was the thing. I'm like, man, are they being cheap or cost-effective? And when you say cost-effective, also that smart term of this guy's got versatility to play all three of those positions. You feel better about him if he's there. Not sure if Larry Warford has the ability to play center. I'm not sure about that. But you know Zach Fulton does, and he's cheaper. Versatility and cheaper, save money. He's willing to do the restructure.
You've got a lot of guys. I mean, really, right now, Laremy Tunsil and Nick Martin are the only two guys that are that I would say are locked in no matter what happens. Obviously, Laramie Tunsil, but Nick Martin, I don't see them if somebody else.
You don't
else
think could, Howard's locked in?
I think he's locked into being a tackle, and it could be a very, very, very good right tackle, high-end right tackle. I'm excited about him, man. I don't get excited about offensive linemen very often until, like, a Laramie Tunsil walks in, then you go, hell yeah, you know, that'll move the needle. But I'm excited about Titus Howard. I think they hit a home run on that deal. But no, my point is he's a guy that can go to guard.
Oh,
I mean, he played guard. He played a lot of guard last year in training camp. And in fact, I believe he was set to start at guard when the injury happened before the New Orleans game. So he's a guy that could. Now, you know, ideal, you want Laramie Tunsil. I'm telling you, the Texans organization's in a really good spot up front. If Titus Howard keeps coming and you got Titus Howard at the right tackle and Laramie Tunsil at left tackle and Deshaun Watson at quarterback, you've got some pillars of the offense right there that just have – when they're good, when those three positions are good, damn, you got an upside, man. Mm-hmm. You got a real advantage right there. So, I think Zach Fulton's a good keep, man. I thought it all along, he's a good keep. I think the value of being able to move up and down the offensive line is really, really special, and that veteran presence never hurts.
Yeah, they haven't made the greatest of moves all off seasons when it comes to decision on money and trades. Carlos Hyde for what they were going to pay him, what you had to pay for David Johnson. But I think you have to put this one in a smart move. This was a successful move.
Yeah, I mean, small. Again, like I said, not necessary. Could have left things as is with him, and you'd have been fine. I mean, is anybody going to write home about the right guard restructuring and the organization saving a couple of million? Probably not. But, yeah, good move by the front office, and now you can go spend that couple of million. Hell, if somebody feels like you overpaid Randall Cobb by $2 million, then here's your $2.5 back,
yeah,
baby.
Here's your $2.5 back.
I'll see your two, and I'll raise you $2.5.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley in with us. And make sure the best way to kind of check and listen to us, radio.com, and they've got amazing things that you could do, including the radio.com rewind. You want to do that and use that each and every each and every time you can, go back, listen to interviews, whatever. A smart thing to do. And speaking of smart, the smart speakers, home speakers, go ahead and call out Alexa and tell her to play Sports Radio 610. That's the best way to listen to us. Hey,
odd. Bridget, did you hear that? He kind of went sexy voice right there. It's almost like he tried to go.
When he
was talking to Alexa like it was a real woman or something, and he kind of went.
Hey, Alexa. That's how I would approach her.
Hey. He kind of went.
I heard the rasp.
Hey, Alexa.
Hey.
Why don't you play that Sports Radio 610, baby?
Yeah.
Light that up for me. Give me that right quick. Give me that. I got this Hennessy with apple juice.
Hennessy with apple juice. We got to come up with we got to make a song called Hennessy and apple juice.
Splash the hen with a little splash of apple juice, baby. No lie. Play that Sports Radio 610, Lexa. I call her Lexa.
Hey, I'd love to be old fly on the wall, old show, be in that hotel room with old Lex over on the table with that hen and apple juice.
Get that man a dash, baby. Uh-huh, baby. In my house shoes. Let's go,
over there talking to Alexa, working on his.
Hey, I don't even got to call her Alexa. Just call her Lexa. She know me.
Hey, put that old robe on. It's in the closet in the bathroom. Put that robe on.
Yeah, my plaid robe, my green and blue plaid robe. Yeah, that's it.
Working on your tone before Courtney gets here. Yeah, I can see. Thinking, boy, it's going to be a couple weeks. When I see mom, I'm going to get this tone right.
Get this sexy Lexa here.
Hey, baby. Don't mess around. Call her Alexa, though.
She's going to think something wrong.
That'd be the scandal of the century.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Look, the read.
Look, baby, I promise.
I don't know it. Yeah, that is an ex's name.
You'd have to email Amazon and ask him to pay for a dinner for y'all for their trouble.
That would be funny, boy. And not funny. I wouldn't laugh at it. I could just see Show coming to the studio night after Mama gets here, all beat up like, Show, what was wrong? Man, I hit Courtney with that Alexa last night.
I messed up, man. I slipped
in. Damn, you're taking work too serious, Jay.
Man, I'm taking it home with me, baby. Let me hear that voice, Alexa.
Oh,
let me hear that.
Man.
Let me hear that.
All of that just to let y'all know, man. Tell your smart speaker at home, Alexa, tell her to play Sports Radio 610.
And
if
you want to get close to her, go ahead.
Yeah, get raspy with it.
Get it. Go ahead, baby. Hit that Alexa. Sound like the start of an old or old mid-90s R&B, Black Street. Got them songs just to start. Hey, baby.
Yeah, who was that? Jodeci? Who was that? Jodeci?
Hey, baby. What you doing? I love you. I always have. And I'm ready to take you down. You know that?
Okay.
one of the things from last week we didn't get to. And I know you would have been here excited because if I don't know anybody who wants sports to come back, it's Clint Sterner.
Yes, sir.
And we heard from Governor Greg Abbott, not only was sports back, but fans at 25% capacity can attend outdoor sporting events in Texas. That's huge. People and Wade was schooling me. Hey, high school football.
Yeah.
If that was ever taken away. We had people in here saying, I'm mutiny. I'm going crazy if I don't get my high school football, how big of a deal it is. And 25% capacity. So that was a big, big thing last week that I think is showing the doors potentially being open to start getting us back. And not just getting us back, but being able to attend the events.
Oh, yeah, man. Look, I want everybody to mind their P's and Q's, be coachable, abide by the rules and regulations that are laid out there for us all. But man, I mean, I went to a restaurant again this weekend, and golly, we had a crew, just our crew. We weren't mingling with everybody else, but we had more than six people, that's for damn sure. But they're all, you know, a couple of my cousins and obviously Lauren and a couple other people. But man, it just seems like things are starting to get back to normal. I don't want to jinx this thing, but it seems like things are getting back to normal. I may be a little bit more confident than I should, but man, I think that NBA is coming back. I think Major League Baseball is coming back, and I think we're gonna have more than 25% capacity in these stadiums, in these arenas, and at these ballparks, man. And I'm excited about it.
And you, like you're one, you'd be comfortable being a part of going to that. I'm not sure if I'm ready yet. We had talked about that. I'm not sure if I'm ready. I wonder what the parameters would be around it. We talked about it last week, and I told Bridget and Wade, I said, if they were to say you have to wear like a mask the entire time, which I would completely understand for safety purposes, I don't think that I could do that because I feel like I couldn't give it everything. If I'm going to pay that money, I want to be comfortable.
I'm probably out on the mask. If I've got to wear a mask, I'm probably out on that deal. Hell, that's the case if it really anywhere other than in and out of the building and, you know, those kind of things. I don't know, man. I just really because that mask would bother the hell out of me. Smelling my own breath for like up close and personal for about four straight hours would be that'll make you go brush your teeth in a heartbeat. Now can't do that in the bathroom at Minute Maid. So I would be out on them if I had to wear a mask, Chief.
Yeah, it's coming. It'll be fun. It'll be something getting closer and closer to sports coming up, man. I got some sad news, man.
What you got?
Drop on you. We talked about Max, my dog. If you missed it. We talked about Max a couple of weeks ago, and we had to make the decision. We're gonna have to put him down next week.
Max, golly, boy,
I'm sorry.
I had a long walk with him. I had a long walk
before you
left. Yeah, he has no clue.
Aw, wait, just won't make the trip, or is he suffering? Or they said it was necessary.
They said this humidity, this air wouldn't be good for him. And they just said, man, the medications we put him on is just prolonging it. It ain't getting it better.
Yeah.
It's just he's good.
He's how long? I mean, how old?
He's 11.
Okay, that's.
Yeah, he had a good run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's lived a good one.
He's lived a good one, but yeah, man, we're gonna have to.
That hurts, though, man.
I'm sorry, man.
You had a lot. You emotionally got to be taxed, man. You went through a lot.
Yeah,
when'd you leave? When'd you leave?
I left Saturday.
Man, you went through a lot, man.
I did, man. Had to say goodbye to old.
Got
old
the
Max.
Kids. The kids just dragging on each leg. Are you trying to leave the house? Oh, and Max,
get there, boy. Yeah, Max didn't give a rip, but the kids, boy, they were. Yeah, Max just went home. Said, I see you later. I said, no, you won't.
No, you won't.
Oh, my.
No, you won't, dog.
No, you won't, dog, man. No, you won't, man. The conversation I had with the vet, man, he just saying, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, we could do like, you know, maybe a $5,000 treatment.
Mm-mm.
No, dog. He said, but I'm just letting you know, even those things may not work when he goes to that climate. I said, so it feel like you're telling me
yeah.
what I need to yes, do. I mean, some people, he's like, some people want to stay. I said, nah, man, you go. So, yeah, man.
Big That's Max why I've never been life. A big dog person, man, because you – If I fall in love with one, man, and it comes down to a $5,000-$10,000, man, it's gonna be hard for your boy, man. That's tough, right?
Yeah,
there.
I mean, it was hard, but I mean, we knew what the decision was gonna be.
Right.
Houston's hottest stories. We do this each and every day at this time. 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.